All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, December 8th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a NFL showdown between the Eagles and the Chargers. We have three-game NBA main slate, as well as a five-game NHL main slate. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the Saber Sim app, answer any and all DFS related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the Sabersim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do the show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, so you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up on the screen. We had one question come in prior to the show. We will start there and then kind of see where we go. First question of the day. For office hours today, is there any downside to setting projection floor rules for building lineups? After watching the DFS masterclass, I noticed Jordan doesn't set any rules and states it can actually interfere with how lineups are constructed for showdown. For NBA, for instance, I will usually do a build, then filter out lineups that are not positive ROI. I then find the lowest projected lineup and set that as the projection floor and run another build. I am thinking I want as many ROI positive lineups in my pool of 5,000 for the contest sims to choose from. All right, really good question. So we have a little bit of time. We'll break this down. Why don't we go over to NBA for today? And we got a three-game slate tonight. We are going to make a couple updates to or change two projections so we can generate some lineups. I'm just going to build 500 here. And then I'm going to go into the contest tab while that runs and turn on a contest sim. And we'll just use the flagship contest for this demo. All right, lineups are finishing up. We are in the post build. I'm just going to create a group with 20 lineups. And we are just waiting for this contest sim to run. Which it has just finished. So let's see if we can diversify. All right, cool. So we have our lineups here, right? Now, I think there is one flaw in this logic. I think the flaw is that you're assuming that a lineup must have a certain projection in order to be positive ROI. Okay, I think that is the one thing I want to kind of zone in on here, because I don't think that's true, right? And I think you're going to see lineups with different constructions that are both positive ROI. So here, I think this is probably our best example. Let's bring in the ROI onto the screen here, right? So, okay. So we have two lineups at the top of our portfolio. This is a simpler example. There are definitely more extreme versions of this, but I think this gets the point across. Excuse me. So lineup one here, right? 248 projection, positive sim ROI. Lineup two, 251 projection, positive sim ROI. Now, to me, what I notice is that the lower projected lineup has lower ownership and the higher projected lineup has higher ownership. Okay. So the way I typically think about like positive ROI is kind of on like a spectrum here. And I'm just going to write this. That's not what I wanted. No. Okay, here we go. This is what I wanted. So this is like, here, I'm going to put some titles on these. So we're going to say like on the bottom is like projection. Well, this says ownership. Either way. All right. So my point is, the point I want to make here is that you see these two lineups, right? One of them has lower projection, but also lower ownership. One of them has higher projection, higher ownership. Their ROIs are both high, right? So you're going to see this a lot where you see a certain ROI, but you see two different type of lineups. And basically what I've noticed is that, hey, your lineup can be lower projected. It can be, but it has to come. It has to come with lower ownership. Or the opposite. It could be higher projected, or it could be higher owned, which is maybe a better way of thinking about it. It could be higher owned, but it has to have a higher projection if it's going to be higher owned. Any lineup along this spectrum in this example has a similar ROI. So what I've noticed, especially I see this in Showdown a lot, right? But it's usually not ownership. It's usually duplication. It's like dupes. You can play lower projected sets, but they have to be lower average dupes. You could play higher projected sets, or you can play higher dupe lineups, but they have to be higher projected, right? I think that holds true here in these classic slates as well, which is why I don't think you need to solely focus on a projection floor. Because what if your last positive ROI lineup is maybe there just weren't any lineups that were kind of generated that could have been positive ROI for that threshold. So I just kind of wanted to note that. Okay. Just keep that in mind. Now, as far as like setting a projection floor goes, right? I think on the other side, you know, to like play devil's advocate like a little bit, sim average score definitely matters in the post-contest sim ROIs, right? Sometimes we'll see lineups like, hey, you know, this user was negative, this user was positive. A lot of their stuff looks the same, except this other user, their sim average score is a lot lower. It's like 5 points lower on average, right? So they're just playing lineups that aren't projected well enough, right? That would kind of be a reason for setting a projection floor, right? So I think at my first point was that you shouldn't solely base your decision on the lineup's projection. However, that doesn't mean a projection floor is a bad idea. And if you are going to cut lineups out of your pool that are below a certain projection, I'm a big advocate for not wasting lineups in your pool, right? You want as many lineups in your pool that you're willing to play as possible. That doesn't mean, well, how do I say this? So if you know you want a certain projection, you should just set it as a rule. That way it always gets used, right? To kind of come full circle, just because you set the floor doesn't mean you're not going to have any negative ROI lineups now, right? If 240 was your lowest positive ROI, well, you could have a 245, but maybe it's too high owned now, and now it's negative again, right? I think that's the important part, is like, just because you set 240 doesn't mean you're not going to have negative ROI lineups above that, right? Because the 240 maybe had 150 ownership, the 245 has 250 ownership, and now that's way too high, right? The ownership is just way too high for this level of projection. So it's always kind of a balancing act. And I don't think solely setting the floor will like solve the problem. But if you're like, hey, you know, projections matter in NBA, I want to have a floor, I think that's okay, right? What a floor really does, in my opinion, is it protects you against ownership variance, right? Like, hey, the builder is judging this lineup at these ownerships. Well, what if DiVincenzo comes in at 40? What if Gillespie comes in at 50? What if Mathurin comes in at 25, right? What if these, you know, ownership varies, right? What if these ownerships are different? Well, lower projected lineups, their ROI is a lot more sensitive to ownership projection changes, right? To the difference in actual versus projected ownership. They are more likely to go from positive to negative quicker based on smaller movement in ownership, right? So that is a reason for kind of cutting or setting a floor, is like, hey, the higher projected lineups are a little bit more resilient in terms of ownership shifting. Maybe I just want to focus on those, right? I think that is like a totally okay and reasonable line of logic, right? So I think that was a pretty solid discussion here on this one. So I am going to leave it there. Hope I didn't talk in circles too much, but good question to get us started. All right, next question. I take some shots in the $3 20 max and some other large field GPPs, but don't normally max them out. Sometimes I might only enter 5 to 10 lineups in these contests using the same build template. Should I use a different build template for contests that I don't max out? The example, I say enter 10 lineups in the $3 20 max. Any ideas on how to approach when taking shots in larger field? All right, good question. So the first thing that I want to point out is that it is always okay to enter less than the maximum number of lineups in a contest, right? What you're doing in any contest is you're entering your best lineup first, your second best, your third, your fourth, et cetera, right? So if you only enter 10 in a 20 max, you're purposefully leaving out your 11th best through your 20th best lineups. You're still playing your 10 best, right? So that is okay, right? It is okay to leave out those lower ones, especially if it makes sense for like your bankroll management purposes. So all in all, totally okay thing to do. I've even won some contests with less than the maximum, and you know, it's a very normal thing that happens. You could go look at like any contest in the lobby. Now, as far as any ideas on how to approach when taking shots in larger field, I wouldn't do anything different, right? I would still use portfolio. If you have a process, I would stick with it. You're just entering less of the 20, right? If I had 20, I'm taking the top 10. So you really shouldn't try and do anything different, especially if you have a process that is good, right? I think this is a mistake people can make. It's like, hey, I'm taking a shot in a bigger contest. I need to like reinvent the wheel and do something totally different, right? You chances are like, no, you do not need to do that. And if you have a winning process, you should just apply it and just understand that, you know, you have less entries, right? So, you know, if you have 10 entries, right, and the cashing percent is 20-25%, you're going to cash somewhere between 2 and 3 lineups on average, right? So just be aware of that, be prepared for that outcome. But I wouldn't want you to stray from what you're already doing, All right, next question. By chance, can you go over how to view all the lineups in a certain lineup group? Yeah, so what you want to do, right? Like say I have a group, right? There's a couple ways to do this. First off, as far as like looking at the lineups, right? Or actually, let's do something else. I'm going to create two groups. And then let's do something easy, projected score. All right, so let's say I have 220 maxes, right? So in order to look at the lineups, you just click this dropdown over here on the right. The method that you're going to see automatically is this compact lineup view, right? If you don't like this, you can go to the settings and turn off this use compact lineup view toggle, which will expand the lineups, right? Depending on how wide this lineup section is, you might see one. You can drag it out to see two. I think you can even see three at a time, right? So just expanding this like lineup pane is a thing you want to focus on. Now, if you want to see your exposures, you're like, hey, I have these 220 maxes. I want to see my exposures for one of them. You click on it, click on the name of it, and the exposures zone in, right? It's like, hey, now, you know, the parentheses number is 10, which is the number of lineups. So it's saying, hey, you have Gillespie in 10 out of your 20 here. Now, caveat, you cannot adjust exposures for one group when selected on it. That doesn't work that way. So any exposure adjustments you set will go to all groups unless you lock one, right? So like, let's say I was done with this bottom group. I could lock it. The lineups will never change now. And then I could set the min and max exposures. Any exposure adjustments are going to be sent to the unlocked group and applied to that group. The locked one will effectively ignore the new stuff we are sending to it and never change it. So that could potentially be one way to do that if that is what you are looking to do. But yeah, so clicking, viewing exposures, dropdowns, toggles, those are all the things you need to be aware of there. All right. Is there any way for you to show us an example of everything you do to build lineups that you want? A base example would really help me to create a process for myself. Yeah, so we usually do a build demo on this show. We definitely can knock one out here. A couple resources in the meantime, just so you're aware of these. Saber School, and then top left corner, video library. You go to Saber System. I would start watching these from the ground up. This lesson one, welcome to Saber Sim, and then kind of go up from there. Some of the content might be a little repetitive, but it can't hurt, especially early on, to kind of see a couple different versions of stuff and different iterations, all with like a little bit of like a different twist. So I would for sure start there. Now, if I were building lineups for NBA for tonight, right, what I would do is first thing, right, come into my build. It'll look like this. I'll just open up a new build. Now, you can't click this build lineups button right away if you're playing on DraftKings, because DraftKings requires you to make two adjustments in order to unlock lineups. This is like in regards to their terms of service. So you just got to make two small adjustments here. I just usually use these plus minus icons that will activate the build lineups button. Always build as many lineups as your plan allows here, whether that is 500, whether that is 5,000. Either way is fine. I'm just going to do 500 here. I wouldn't recommend changing anything with regards to filters, rules, settings. I would leave all that alone. So all you need to do is the minimum two changes and basically build lineups, right? The pool is going to be set to the max that your plan allows by default. The only other thing you might want to do is bring in your entry file. So you can click this button up here in the top left. If you are signed in to the fantasy site you're playing on, whether that's DraftKings, FanDuel, etc., you want to be signed in on the same browser you're using SaberSim. It doesn't have to be open, but you just need to be signed in on this browser. You can use this hyperlink button to quickly download your contests for a given slate. So if I were playing this slate, I click this. SaberSim basically talks to DraftKings and says, hey, you know, send me the entries that this user has for this slate. You get this DK entries file. You drag and drop it in here. And then this contest section will update. We'll now know what contest you're playing, how many entries you have in each of them. And then from there, I would go over to the lineup section and then turn on one of these templates, okay? I have the direct fill one turned on right now. If you start it, it will auto create your groups for you. So say I was playing 220 maxes. When I upload that entry file, well, it will do what we set up here in our build one, where it will create two groups, each with 20 lineups, right? Or depending on what template you use, might do something different. But we generally recommend using the one group per contest is a good one. This will give you one group per contest, will give you two groups with 20 lineups each. Direct fill will give you one group with 40 lineups. And then the last one, all contests in one group, will give you one group with only 20 lineups, where it uses the same 20 in each contest. So I personally think direct fill is a very good introductory template. So I like that one. Now you build the lineups run, and what will happen is your lineups will, depending on the plan you're on, it'll basically run the sims and diversify your lineups and basically generate lineups for you. So then we get into the post build. I like to go into the table over here and sort by exposure. These are the amount of lineups with a certain player. So 70% of my lineups have Gillespie, 60% have DiVincenzo, et cetera, et cetera. Now it's all about fine tuning this. You know, do you like this? Do you agree? Do you disagree? If you want to make changes, the best resources are the min-max exposures. Minimum will raise a player, maximum will cap a player. And you kind of just continue to dial this in. If you don't have opinions, great. Save this, which you'll do over here. It'll say save all. You download the lineups from this download entry file button over here on the left, and then you upload it back to the fantasy site. So that's kind of a walkthrough here. But let me know if there's any specific questions. RB1 Spinny with a follow-up. Fill process when using the default template, my small field sat groups is located toward the bottom of the template, and this might be getting the lower ROI lineups if I'm understanding the fill process. So what happens is SaberSim auto sorts your groups by dollar per entry. So the higher dollar per entry matter more to your portfolio. So SaberSim puts those at the top. And then, so if they're like, if your stats are on the bottom, they're probably lower overall dollar. If you are concerned about what lineups are going into those, I think you can turn off this avoid duplicates across lineup groups toggle. Then when this is on, which is on by default, it makes sure that each entry gets a unique lineup. But if it is off and a lineup grades out well in more than one format, it can reuse the lineup, right? So I think that turning this off might be beneficial for you, just kind of based on like the vibes of the question. But in general, it is better to have your lower dollar per entry contests get your lower ranked lineups, right? That is better than, you know, if you have like a killer lineup and it goes in the sat for $20 ticket rather than, you know, a contest that's, you know, 1,000 or first, for example, right? But I think turning that toggle off might be beneficial for you here. One more from Black Mama. By chance, can you go over the best way to do a research build? Yeah. So, we don't really recommend these anymore. This is like a, probably 3-year-old concept that we used to kind of talk about in a very earlier version of SaberSim. But I still think you can learn from your build, right? So like, honestly, what I would do is I would just open a build, run it with the minimum required changes. And then I would basically look at your build at different percentages, right? So like, let's say I have 500 lineups. Okay. What does the top 1% of my pool look like? right? What are the top five lineups? What are the exposures, right? Diversify, analyze those. What does the top 10% look like, right? What does the top 20% look like? And now by viewing your pool in different bite-sized chunks, you might be surprised at which players pop at different levels, and you might see different kind of ways you can go with your exposures. And I think that can be helpful, right? In your top five, you might see one thing. In your top 50, you might see another thing, right? In your top, in your top 250, if you're looking in half, right, you might see something else, right? So analyzing those things, looking at the different stat combos, different players, different things like that would be what I would call like a 2025 research build. So that would be my advice there. All right. Looking around here, we are all caught up with questions, knocked out a build demo as well. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.